Marriage is hard as shit. Welcome to Not the Worst Marriage Podcast. Oh, and holy shit. Is this two episodes in a row?
Two episodes in a row.
Oh my gosh.
In the same month?
In the same month?
It's in the same month.
I'm really excited. I'm really proud of us.
Pat on the back right there.
Yeah, pat on the back. Okay, so this...
Welcome to Not the Worst Marriage Podcast.
Oh, welcome to Not the Worst Marriage Podcast. We're Sarah and Sterling.
You sound so excited. We are really excited to be here and talk about this episode because...
I'm actually very excited to talk about this.
Because this is will make or break your marriage, 100%.
Yeah, so this is basically Marriage 101. Like, these are our... This is like a culmination of the best advice that we like received and kind of figured out over the years.
Basically, if you do all of this, you'll never get divorced. I'm just
kidding. It's a bold move, Cotton.
It's a bold move. She's got a cannon.
We'll see how this one plays out.
Just fucking kidding. This is a...
I genuinely was like, well, wait a minute. Let me think about it.
This is some shit we've learned through the years and advice that we've gotten that we've taken. And we want to throw it out there. These are the highlights.
And these, I feel like, are things that have made a massive difference. Like, these areas are like laid the foundation, I think, for shit.
Yeah, I think so.
Right? So if you don't know, Sterling and I have been married 16 years now.
That took you a minute.
We...
I saw you thinking there. You having to carry the two.
Oh, jinx. You bitch, just for this, because it's too early in the episode for me. You know what? No, you can sit there quietly. We take jinx really seriously. This isn't in the list of fundamental marriage things, but it should be, because obviously Sterling won't break the rules. So we've been married over 16 years. We've been together 18, coming up on 19 years. We met when we were 12 and 15. We started dating when we were 15 and 18. We got pregnant when I was 17 and he was 20. And then we had our third baby by 21, 24. Sterling.
Oh, I thought you had a...
you were going to sit there the whole time quietly.
I'll sit the whole episode out.
I mean, we have three kids.
And all our kids take this jinx...
Just as seriously.
And slug bug.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we've been married a long time.
We've married a really long time. We've almost divorced three times. We have both been unfaithful. You can hear that whole story in episode 10.
Yeah.
What else? Our dog just died. We miss her. And that brings you up to speed. So,
welcome to 2021.
Starting off with number one foundational marriage advice, basic one issues. Go.
So... this topic came up of going, hey, what's like the best advice that we got and that we would give to people? And number one that, I brought up was your spouse should be your number one priority, more than your kids, more than your work, more than
your family, than everybody. You're there more than your best friend, more than your hobby.
Yep. You're like,
that person is your number one.
Absolutely. Luckily, and as stupid as it sounds, like, we're best friends.
Yeah.
And we have been, and it's, like, stupid, and people, feel like
twats.
We can tell it.
I feel like twats saying
total,
that, but...
Total twats.
I mean, it's true.
It's true. But you're my number one.
Yeah.
Like, when it comes down to it, like, draw the line.
Yes.
You're my number one.
So, which, I feel like if that is your, if you keep your spouse as your number one... Anything that tries to come between your number one needs to be dealt with. Like, you have to draw a boundary with that thing. And that is applicable everywhere.
Right. Like, I look at it as this, like, we're almost like the same person. Like, when you get married, you become one. Like, we're on the same team.
I feel like...
Like, it comes with, like, we put a thing about fighting. Like, when you guys fight each other, you gotta realize you guys are on the same team. It's not
like work together for a solution.
No one wins in a fight.
No, there's no winners.
No,
not really. Not when you think about it.
So when you come to a marriage with that kind of perspective of, hey, you're my number one. You're my number one priority. I'm gonna try to make you happy. And if you reciprocate that to me, everything's gonna be great.
If both of us try to stay focused on what the other person needs. then it's smoother sailing than constantly worrying about what
I'm not saying focusing on what everyone needs. I'm saying just showing you that you're my number one priority.
Yeah.
Like, I might fail 1 month in focusing on your needs,
but not like month by month. I mean, overall, I think that that's...
No, I'm just saying overall, like, you should be my number one priority. Like,
okay, or disagree with
work.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, when it comes to work-life balance or... Mm-hmm.
This isn't about not having your own autonomy.
Absolutely not.
Like,
no,
you can still have this mindset and still be two separate people. Right. Like, we more now than ever are two very different people.
Absolutely. We have our own responsibilities during the day. Like, you have your own job, your stuff. We each have to deal with the kids, and we have work and friends and
well, yeah, we have our own likes and we have our own dislikes. Right. And
but at the end of the day, you're my number one.
Yeah.
Like, and there's no argument. There's no. Like, my best friend is John. He doesn't hold a candle
friend,
to you.
Best friend, sisters, brothers, cousins.
Right. My sister, but no.
Even if you have a
you're
twin.
My one.
Yes. Yeah. And especially the kids. Especially the kids.
Kids are number
Those
two.
Those kids are number two.
I mean, yeah, they're number two.
But some people get some people get that flopped, and then that's why.
True.
That just never goes well.
Right. And that's like why this is the first one I wanted to bring up, was that I think that when you're married, like, your spouse should be your number one priority.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, as much as on repeat we just sounded, but
yeah. So this list, while that's the first one, the rest of them aren't in any particular order. I mean, I guess they kind of are. The first three, I guess, are our top threes, fours. I don't know. Okay, so number two is, and we have done this since day one.
Yeah, this was actually advice we got, right?
This was specific advice we got.
Not
early
all
on
of
in our
this
marriage.
Has just come from us. This is also by regurgitated.
No, this is like, literally a culmination.
We are not professionals or anything. This is just what.
No.
Like, we're regurgitating some really great advice
received. Actually, like, looking through this list, all of these things we got from a veteran couple.
Yeah.
They had been married for decades. They had adult children.
Absolutely. And dude, how arrogant were we as a young couple?
Oh yeah. You totally think, especially like your early marriage years. I don't even care how old you are.
Dude, I was cocky. I was 21.
You were
18.
Such a cocky son of a bitch.
Hey, I have a wife, a kid.
You're like,
together. I have it together. I got my shit handled. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was cocky as fuck.
I've only slept with one woman and then I married her because
yep, I lost my
I'm better than
her.
Everyone.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Dude, that's the other thing. We lost our virginity to each other.
Pride comes before the fall, right?
Dude, faux real.
For real.
Yeah, I don't think we've actually said it yet. Okay. Don't talk bad about your. So, number two.
Number two.
Don't talk bad about your spouse behind their back. Big no-no.
Never.
This has been a huge, and I liked going through this because we haven't.
Husbands and. Sorry, I need to yell.
Blow my eardrums out.
Sorry, I got excited.
But this has always been a big no-no for us.
It has been a no-no, like a no-no. Sounds weird coming from me.
It actually sounds really, like, when I say it's not weird, watching you say it just now, I was all, ugh.
I felt weird saying it.
Shudder. No-no. Why do you say it like a baby?
I didn't mean to.
Don't talk shit about your spouse behind their back. Talk it right to their fucking face. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why we work. Oh, be like, how can you talk to each other like that? We gotta fucking say it to someone.
Might as well say it to them.
Being married,
straight up.
Being married to your best friend is cool until you need to talk shit about your spouse to your best friend.
Write that down.
I already did. I tweeted it like 2 years ago.
Oh, great.
Don't say shit behind the back. Say it to their fucking face every day. You'll get it out. Get out the demons. Okay, sorry. Keep going.
But in all seriousness, do not talk shit about your spouse to anybody.
No, that's so
outside
fucked
of
up.
Your spouse.
Think about how fucked up that is for a second. Okay. Like, if it's your default, and I think it's widely accepted, and we're not.
And, From husbands and wives.
Oh, across the board.
Wives complain to other wives about their, oh, he doesn't do this, 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 and blah, 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 blah.
Lazy ass motherfucker. He does it. And this is not, then we're not.
Husbands at the water cooler. Oh, I haven't got fucked in this long.
I feel like we need to clarify the difference between like opening up to someone that you are having issues in your marriage or like you need someone to talk to. That is one thing.
Good point.
That is one thing. Because yeah, if you're in a relationship that's not going well, and you don't have anyone else to talk to and you need to kind of open up, one, totally, but two, make sure that is someone that you trust and that could potentially be unbiased. That person is not your family. I can tell you that right now. It is no one you're related to.
Yeah.
But we'll cover that. We'll cover that in depth in a minute. But yeah, husbands and wives are equally as guilty.
Yeah. So don't talk shit.
Just make that a rule. Just make that a rule. Like, there's nobody could ever come against us with something like, oh, like, I'm trying to think of an example or how we say this. Like, no one could ever say something.
Yeah, like, no, none of my, like, coworkers could be like, hang out with us and be like, oh, Sarah, we heard
your farts are
super stinky. Like,
yeah.
Like, they knew about that. Like, yeah, I'm not gonna talk about that.
No.
It's true, but it's
fine. And I would love for one of your coworkers to tell you that. I'd be like, really? It took a man to tell you this?
But yeah, in all reality, though, we don't complain to other people, but
no, yeah, you
there's
don't
a bigger reason behind this is, like, if you have close friends that you, let's say you have a close friend that you always, like, vent to about your spouse. For instance, if it's outside of like what Sarah just said, if it's like,
I'm talking, just talking shit, shit talking, just complaining. Shit
talking is like that friend or that person, if they're close, if you interact with them, as a couple, they have now a jaded view towards your spouse.
Yeah, they totally
can. Through the prism that you've created.
Because, and here's the other reason is that, well this kind of goes into the fourth one, but. Like, if you constantly vent and bitch about your spouse to, let's say, a friend, and eventually you and your spouse may make up, but the friend does not forgive.
Yeah, the friend's like, bitch.
The friends are like, fuck you, motherfucker. Like,
no. He was an asshole last week. Did you forget all this shit?
Right. Like, it just don't do that. Don't bring other people into your marriage because it's just having too many cooks in the kitchen. Like, keep that shit at home and figure it out.
Right. I believe, like, when you, if you're.
And you want to give other people ammo against your spouse?
Absolutely not. Now, there's, like, super, like superficial shit that you can joke about. But, like.
Yeah, but no, I think everybody knows what the fucking difference is.
There should be boundaries and lines drawn where, like, you don't bring up certain things to your friends or your friends or family.
Right.
About your marriage.
No, not
yet.
Especially
in fight. Especially about fights.
Oh, yeah. Especially about an ongoing fight.
Definitely.
Yeah. Like, and if you don't know the difference between just being like, this motherfucker pissed me off so bad the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And say something just like, he said he was going to take out the trash because we needed it taken out. And then he didn't, even though I reminded him. And now the trash isn't taken out. We have too much trash.
Well, I feel like that one's okay.
That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying there's that difference. And then it's like, he switches heart medication and now he can't get it up anymore. Fuck him. But this, I mean, to me, that's the exact same thing as men talking about, like, yeah, she used to blow me. Now she doesn't anymore. Like, bro, I don't want to fucking hear about your wife's bedroom habits.
Oh, so many guys like want to seek validation that they're all their husbands, like, especially on like construction sites and stuff like that. They're like, oh yeah, once you get married, you know, you stop having sex and blah, and like, it's like a running joke. And I'm like,
right.
That's fucking terrible. Don't.
Yeah.
And I've heard guys like just completely run their wives into the ground. And I'm like, that's awful.
Like, awful. Don't talk to your wife. I feel bad for your spouse.
That's awful. Don't do that.
Yeah. Like
you should respect yourself because you're married to that person and your
spouse. If your person is your number one. Like, are you going to let other people shit on your number one? Not 100% not.
Would you kill and die for that person? Yeah.
Yep.
Then why would you talk shit on that person?
Right.
Like.
Right.
I would destroy someone if they talked to you about that way. Talked to you.
Right.
I talked about you that way.
Right.
And I guarantee you anybody who any of those spouses who did think the same way, but when they do it, it
yeah, and it's just a habit that you have to kind of like agree to.
Right, if you catch yourself, it's so easy to complain, though.
It's right? Yeah. I guess it's easy to complain when you're not fixing your shit at home. And that's not always everybody's fault. Like, you can't fix things on your own. So if you're with a spouse that isn't giving you any, like, yeah, you probably have a lot to complain about. But, like, I don't know.
I mean, you should also, like, if you have a spouse who doesn't want to talk, you should have an avenue
right.
that you can express these things in a healthy way.
Yeah, otherwise perhaps they will eat you up with resentment.
But not a close friend or
relative. Not your mom.
Yeah.
Not your sister.
Yeah.
Okay, number three. And because this ties into it is don't disrespect them in front of other people, but this has to do with when you are with the person.
Right. Like, if you're like at dinner and you get an argument, don't throw like a paper bag at their face or anything like that. Like, don't do that. That's bad.
Story time.
That was a very specific reference. If you drink too much and you get a little rowdy and you throw something in your wife's face, that's a paper bag.
Why would you even bring this up? My heart rate just went like up to 200. So one time we went out with our best friend.
I'm just telling people that I'm a fuck up. We're fuck ups too.
Yeah, like, we're not perfect.
We're not perfect in this.
Oh, well, yeah. I meant to say like all of these things we've done semi-successfully.
Semi. Except anything this one's a massive failure on my part.
Well, this one time out of how many times? Yeah. But all the advice we're giving, we have done 95% of the time of our relationship, I would say.
I mean, yeah, for the most part, we do. And when we mess up, we recognize that we messed up.
Yeah. So, like, here's a great example of when Sterling messed up one time. So, we were out with our best friends. And I totally forgot about this, even though I was so fucking pissed.
Oh, she was so mad.
Sterling was...
I drank a little too much.
Sterling, yeah. And when Sterling drinks a lot, he gets, like, kind of rowdy. And it immediately irritates me. And so, I was trying to, like...
And irritated Sarah pisses off...
Dude, irritated Sarah is a scary person. And so I'm like trying to be like chill and just be like, hey, did you want to like get a water? Like trying to like on the low communicate to him, like, you got to reel it in a little bit, buddy. Like, don't fucking ruin the night. And we were out to dinner and we got our like to-go bags, like the plastic baggie that you'd put the to-go container in. And I don't remember what I said, but Sterling threw the bag in my face. It's a paper bag. It's literally a plastic bag. But in front of our two best friends, and it got awkward quick.
My bad.
Not even exactly related, because there's several reasons why no one should ever do that. But
several reasons. Yeah. For sure. Never throw something in your wife's face.
Yeah. But in the same way that, like, had one of us said something disrespectful.
Right. No, I disrespected you in front of our friends. That was completely wrong. Oh,
no, I know. I'm saying like that it can be in like undermining somebody in, you know, undermining them in front of other people.
Cutting them off, like complete.
Yes. Embarrassing them in any way, shape or form.
100%.
Yeah. And especially I feel like it's really easy to do this when not that house parties or like having people over at your house is even a thing anymore. But like having people over to your own house and... Like, we used to have people over at our house all the time. And there would be so many times where we would just have to text each other or whatever because you just don't, like, undermine or argue or whatever with your spouse in front of other people.
What are you talking about?
About, like, being respectful of your spouse in front of other people.
But what did you text me ever that...
No, I'm saying, like, if I had to say something, it would be I would text you it.
This sounds very specific, so I was...
No, it's not. The point is that I wouldn't be like, I wouldn't start a fight with you or be like, hey, I've asked you 5 times to go change the baby's diaper and you're just still sitting watching the fight and talking to people and I'm in the kitchen like helping.
Oh, just send the text message. Hey, you're being a real dick right now.
Yes, like something like that.
Oh, so you should have like walkie-talkies or like.
Dude, figure out sign language, whatever it is you got to do, but don't, I don't know, maybe we're.
Don't fight in front of
don't yeah other oh god don't people. Fight in front of other people. Oh.
But yeah, definitely don't disrespect people, your spouse, husbands or wives in front of other people. Don't joke at their expense.
Shit talking is one thing, but like don't put them down.
Right, and I think there's every couple has a cadence that goes back and forth. Mm-hmm. Some like everyone's like, oh, everyone always assumes like you're super funny and outgoing when we're in public.
Oh, uh-huh.
And it's actually vice versa. When we're in public, I'm much more outgoing and friendly.
Yeah, no,
and you're much more reserved.
Anybody.
Mm-hmm. So you got to play into those strengths. Every relationship has different dynamics, but me being more outgoing, if I disrespect you or a certain way or try to like,
you know my limits.
I know
for
your
sure.
limits.
Yeah, you know my
every
limits.
Every couple should know their each other's limits.
Yeah, and it takes time, which is fine. But okay, next one.
What's the next one?
Don't complain to your in-laws about your spouse.
Which ties back into like...
Yeah, it ties into not talking bad about them, but this is specifically...
Specifically to your in-laws.
Specifically complaining to your in-laws, because if you run to, let's say you're close with your parents, and every time you get in a fight, you go and you tell your parents all your fucking business. You and your husband make up, but your husband and your parents don't.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's no one's fault. That's literally just the reality of it.
It is. And just to be quite honest, like when my cheating came out and your family found out, like they treated me differently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very differently. And it's a consequence. Absolutely.
Yeah. And the only reason they found out is because I was leaving.
Right.
It wasn't like I just blabbed my mouth. It was, I'm leaving. This is why. And I need
true. And that's part of our story. But like, we can speak to it of going, hey, when you decided to like, you reconcile with me and like we work things out. It took your family a lot longer to treat me like they used to.
I was going
to
say, do you feel like now... because we both know who we're talking about, that's better. About 10 years.
I feel like it's better now. It hasn't been 10 years. It's been like 7. But,
you're right.
8 years, actually. But yes, I feel like
finally,
I feel like it's better now, but it took years.
It took years, I think, of both of us, like, no one can really talk shit on our marriage. Like, we're doing well. We've gone through a lot.
Well, they can talk shit on marriage all they want. I don't care.
Well, no, they can. But I'm saying, like, basically, even though you don't have to prove your marriage to anybody, but it literally took years of watching our relationship get healthier and back to where it was and to be in a great place. I feel like for those family members to finally, like, okay. Like, we earned your, like... Okay.
I mean, I guess so. I think it just also took time because those family members also fucking cheated and left and got divorced and all this other bullshit too.
No, like, I know. Well, time plays into it, but I'm saying it could be 15 years.
They're living in glass houses and treat me the same way.
Well, no, I don't know.
What I'm saying is that I think that since like we have reconciled over the years, it's just kind of like gone away. Just like,
no, you're 100% wrong. I'm telling you, my family will talk shit about exes from 30 years ago. That shit does not go away.
True. So then maybe they're still talking shit about me then.
No, they're
exactly
not.
Exactly why you shouldn't tell.
Yeah. No. I think my family, because I know how they are, my Mexican family is real hard on outsiders.
Oh, for sure.
If you marry into the family, it's going to be a bumpy ride.
I'm pretty sure I'm like the longest lasting outsider in your family.
I think you are coming up on.
Not total time. I'm just saying current.
Right. But I mean, my family is just very, very, very diehard. Like, bury bodies in the desert for you, diehard. Never talk about it again.
Oh, yeah. They don't care about your fuck-ups. So they only care about my fuck-ups.
Yeah. So for them... too genuinely.
Dude, isn't that amazing? Like, your family gives you amazing grace. Me, they're like, fuck off.
I told them the story. Literally, I told them things that I did, and they were like, okay, I don't care.
Fuck him.
Fuck him. He fucking deserves it.
That's what family's about, though, right?
Which is great. It's nice to have family that has your back like that, but it literally took, it's a miracle. Probably a family first that an ex... or that a spouse kind of got kicked out of the circle of trust and ever made it back in.
That's right. Fucking worked my way in. Worked my way back.
100%.
Okay, fucker.
That's exactly what it's like.
Fucking exactly.
So sorry you married this.
Sometimes I am too.
Oh gosh.
Shut I'm up. So sorry I knocked you up.
Okay, I'm gonna switch to the next two.
I have no idea what.
Are you even looking at the notes?
I'm looking at the notes, but I have no idea what order we're going into.
But, we're going in order.
Go ahead.
Okay. This is another one to set boundaries with in-laws.
Well, since we're talking about in-laws, we're just going to keep it on the in-laws subject.
Yeah, and this is a shorter combo. You have got to fucking draw some boundaries with your in-laws. We have had people write us, be like, my husband's parents stay with us 2 weeks out of every month. Are you fucking kidding me?
Right, or like...
Is this a goddamn joke? Are you a retirement home?
My mother-in-law or father-in-law comes over every weekend. Like,
yes.
Set some boundaries. You can have your own family time.
Unless you're both like, hell yeah, grandma and grandpa are coming over every weekend.
Right. Sometimes it's a relief. Grandma and grandpas are great. We're not discouraging any of that.
Yeah, no.
By any means.
But you have to check them for their boundaries because, I mean, unless they know what they are, which...
I think this advice goes more towards like younger couples with kids because they may feel a little bit more like... And at least I did. I felt that way when we were younger. It was like, oh, if your parents want something, like, oh, we should lean into their advice more and more. And you should lean into your parents' advice. They're parents. They parented you.
That is true. That is true. It would be handled very differently if we started our family in our mid-30s versus when we were literal children.
But I do encourage like you to set boundaries because there's a very important like time of setting like your own family schedule of...
Yes, and that is best for everyone. It's best for you guys, like husband and wife and your kids. And it's best for your family members because then there's nothing worse than staying your welcome.
Definitely.
And I think for the most part, in-laws don't want to do that. But if you don't tell them, they don't know.
Exactly. You have to kind of like communicate it and play it softly. Like you.
It's not rude.
Yeah. You just have to...
Don't feel bad about setting boundaries to keep your number ones.
Your parents were so great when our kids were young. Like, yeah. they were never really intrusive or
like, no, but also too, like they had my mom had a big issue with us spanking and I had to fucking put her in her place.
True.
About it. And I was like, mom, I was like, you cannot undermine me. I was like, you can't. I was like, I'm sorry you don't like this.
Okay. So those boundaries as well.
Cause she pushed it a couple times because she just,
how you parent. How you decide to parent your kids is your decision, not your parents.
You can ask for advice, but then also just let them know how you are raising your kids.
Right. If you don't want to spank, don't spank. That's fine. If you want to just do timeout.
And grandma and grandpa undermining mom and dad's rules.
Ooh, yeah.
Boundaries. It's little shit, let it go. Like little shit, their grandma and grandpa, let them fucking have fun.
Right.
Like it's basically like getting a puppy. Like those are their grandkids. At least that's what I would imagine. Like you can spoil the kids. Like I don't give a shit. But like if it were, I know mommy says that, but grandma says no. Nope.
Mom and dad make the rules.
Yes.
Grandma and grandpa can break them and give a, and you know,
little ones do fun shit. Ones. Like cool.
Yeah. But no, we make the rules.
Yes. But mommy says you can't. Oh, mommy says you can't watch those movies. Grandma says you can. No. Nip that shit in the bud. Don't feel bad about it either. It doesn't have to be a fight. It can just straight up be a love you, mom and dad. These are our rules. And if you like, we can't trust someone who breaks our rules with our kids. Grandma, grandpa, anybody be damned. Absolutely. Because if you had a babysitter come over that broke your rules with your kids, you fucking would not let that stand. You'd either fire that babysitter or it'd be a serious conversation.
Right. And there's, I mean, you can draw your lines. There's certain very strict parents who are like, no candy, no nothing.
Yeah, figure out what your boundaries are.
Figure out what your boundaries are. But if you're in-laws, and there's times where ours have kind of crossed the boundary and we had to check them.
Yeah.
Especially when it came to discipline.
And it sucks.
Uh-huh. And it sucks, but it says, hey, you need to respect us in this area because these are our kids.
Yes.
They're your kids.
Those are my babies. I know they're your grandbabies, but these are my babies.
Right. And I feel that.
And I will fuck you up if I feel like you are in any way a threat to them.
Well, 100%.
This is why I got no, the older I get, I got no problem cutting out toxic grandparents.
Oh, absolutely not. No qualms about it.
No. Okay. All excellent points. I feel like we have changed marriages already.
Right.
Time for a break. We want to tell you guys about HelloFresh. HelloFresh is basically like an ingredients box of pre-planned meals that gets delivered straight to your door. So you don't have to worry about meal planning. You don't have to worry about going to the grocery store. You don't have extra ingredients you won't normally use. It's also really affordable, and it's actually America's number one meal kit.
If your New Year's already off to a busy start, then HelloFresh's Easy Eats is a great option for you. From oven-ready to 10 to 20-minute meals, these quick and easy meals take the stress out of your day because they're so quick and easy.
Whether you're looking to eat better, cook more, or simply save money, HelloFresh is your one-box solution to all of your New Year's resolutions. And now that the kids are actually big enough to cook their own meals, these recipes are easy and everything's like proportioned out for them so they can actually cook them themselves.
Go to HelloFresh.com/10NotTheWorst and use the code 10NotTheWorst for 10 free meals, including free shipping.
Go to HelloFresh.com/10NotTheWorst and use code 10NotTheWorst for 10 free meals, including free shipping. Moving right along, this next one is, dare I say, the most important. And that is so important, we did an entire podcast episode about it, but it is learn how to fight.
Yes, you have to learn how to fight.
We are real big on fighting rules. What's rules of engagement? Episode 3?
Episode 3.
Listen to episode 3 about all of our fighting rules that we follow most of the time.
Most of the time.
Like 95%, I would say, which is for going on 19 years.
That's an A, right?
I mean, is an A+. Those are valedictorian scores.
Right. Like if you're a BA student, like that's fucking pretty good. This is marriage 101. So.
Right. I will say up until this point, we have a passing grade in all these areas.
We have a passing grade, right. Yeah. And we want everyone to have
a passing grade. I think we have A's.
And I don't know. Do we grade on the curve?
No, genuinely, that would be my, and that's not trying to be like pompous or whatever, but I mean, all of these things I don't quite realize how much actual work we've put into our marriage over the years until I sit down and I think about it like this. I mean, when I say that we have a 95% in these areas, like I'm not fucking kidding.
Yeah. I believe that it's really important for couples to come together and like talk about like all this like random shit that we're talking about in this episode.
Right. Yeah. If you've never talked about some of these
it's super basic.
It all sounds like common sense, but it takes a lot of fucking effort.
But we get messages all the time about my in-laws not having boundaries there, mm-hmm, not knowing mm-hmm. how to fight, not like all these different things. And I will say that like we did do a good job in the beginning of our marriage of like setting these boundaries up. And kind of respecting those. And not to say like, oh, we're perfect by any means, because we fucked up and we'll tell you exactly how we messed it up and
yeah,
we want to tell you why, so you don't do it.
Right. But we genuinely do put in a fuck ton of work into our relationship, and like it gets easier as the years go on because some of these things are now second nature.
It becomes habit. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's only habit now because we spent literally every day for 10 years trying to make it one.
But I want to say habit, but it's habit, but it's beneficial. Like it feels good to be able to.
Right. It gets easier. It's just, it's like a,
I don't ever feel weird having to bring up a conversation with you. I don't.
Well, that's not true. Like that's not how I feel.
Well,
not weird, but it,
what I'm saying is like, we've been through so much and like we've set up these things that we've, created avenues where we can.
Yeah. This is a safe space.
Exactly, between me and you.
Yeah.
And that's why like marriage 101 is like why we wanted to talk about it, is it's really about husband and wife.
Yeah.
And like
fuck the world.
The relationship just between that, not your kids, not everything else, like
right.
it's you and your spouse.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have, you know, husband,
like if the two of you, wife, the two of you don't figure it out, like
you got to figure your shit out together.
Even though like a lot of these are kind of common sense, you have to work to keep them over the years.
Oh yeah. You can't just, oh yeah, we're just going to do that.
Like none of these things happen by, yeah. Like certain areas of these things I think will be easier than others for some people. Like for instance, sex is an easier area for us.
Right.
And you know, some of the other ones are not so easy, but like this shit takes a lot of fucking work, man.
For sure.
Okay, learn how to fight.
So learning how to fight is like...
establishing rules.
It's establishing rules. Like, what are your boundaries on yelling, for instance? Sarah, if I raise my voice, if I raise my voice, she considers that yelling.
Okay.
Me? That infuriates me and makes me want to actually yell and show her what is yelling.
No, you want to scream. Yelling. There is yelling.
I want to scream so loud the hair falls off your head.
Check your heart. That's a fucking wrong thing to think. Like, I don't know why.
I'm just being honest here. So I don't yell.
That's
raising my voice is equivalent to yelling to Sarah. So this is something that's taken me.
Same goddamn thing.
It's not the same.
It's 2 + 2 = 4 or 3 + 1 = 4. It's different, but it's the same. This is a scent. Sorry. Man, oh my God. Look at the forehead.
Right, look at the. I'm mad right now.
All right. Oh.
Four more wrinkles.
Damn. Yeah, okay. I can't tell. But
yeah. I can't raise my voice. No, I choose not to raise my voice because Sarah takes it as yelling.
That is not how I fight. To me, a fight is a disagreement that you need to find a solution for.
Right. So every once in a while, I do yell,
and I have yelled too.
And every once in a while, Sarah yells, and then we have to go back to our rules, and we have to reconcile, and we have to like come back. And
who got in the worst is because I'm not a yeller, and if I get so fucking mad at you that I actually yell, I'm now not only mad about what I'm yelling about, I am now mad at you as a person.
I didn't make you
for
yell.
Pushing you chose me to yell. To the point.
No, own your own shit.
Of
that's
yelling.
Another point. Own your own shit.
I didn't. If you yelled, that's not you me. Own it. I didn't say I wasn't owning it. I just said I am now not only mad at
mad.
The issue at hand.
Yeah, we got a double.
I'm mad
helix
because
bitch over
it,
here.
Because
she's
it,
mad.
Well, and also because it, for me to get like if I'm yelling, this is not the first conversation we've had about it. Like any issue I'm yelling about is something we've fought about 20 times.
Oh yeah.
Or sure. Like you break rules, you start breaking rules in a fight. Holy shit. I fucking see red.
Right.
You break two, three rules in a row, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is no longer an argument. This is a fucking bloodbath.
So then there comes times when, like, we have an argument that we're like, fuck it, the rules are out the window, and we break the rules.
God, those
the good
those
thing about having
so
rules
much harder
is,
to make up.
Exactly. Ugh. The good thing about having rules is that, hey, we can kind of come back and go, hey, we fucked up here, here, and there, and mm-hmm. I'm sorry. And we can reconcile and, like, point to some things. That has helped us in our relationship.
Hugely. Hugely. Because two, because we have both agreed in a non-argument setting, because we have both established and agreed on what our rules are, we immediately know when we've broken one.
Exactly.
It's an active choice. Like if we break a rule, it's because...
I don't think it's always active. Sometimes, for me, it's reactionary. Sometimes I just talk before I think.
Yeah, fair. Well, I guess, I mean, it's a...
Sometimes I just shit from the mouth and I get in trouble.
I guess...
And I go like, oh, my bad.
Breaking the rules is an immediate signifier that this is not, like, that it is not gonna go well.
Right. So when you're fighting, so setting rules about fighting is like, those are like red flags that pop up, like stoplights are going, hey, this fight's going the wrong direction. We need to take it. We need to like step back.
Go to your corners.
Go to your corners.
If you like, because if you can't, once you like some of our rules are yes, yelling, sarcasm, name calling, bringing up the past.
Yeah.
Bringing up the past is a big no-no. Those are some of ours. And I had a point and I forgot it. Keep talking.
Figures.
Fuck.
But, learning how to fight is like, you have to learn how to do it too. Like when in your marriage.
Yeah,
and
as
you
have,
get older,
and
like,
you have rules. You have rules to protect you from yourself, because you will have a fight that you want to fucking throw a chair at your spouse.
Yeah, Sarah's,
you haven't
Sarah's
had those.
Thrower.
Those are coming, huh?
I said you're a thrower.
Yeah, I am. You're a yeller. Crazy. I'm a thrower. You want to yell at me? I will fucking launch a cup right at you. If you want to throw your voice at me.
You're psychotic.
I will throw a physical object in your general direction. Dude, but, I straight up did. I will say the only downside of me talking about my feelings more because I used to like totally shut down and like never open up and lock Sterling out. And it was terrible. It was like being married to an emotional corpse. So since I have worked on myself in that area, a nasty little byproduct is I don't hold my tongue as much. So sometimes in fights, I've been guilty of saying I'm getting real sick of being the only fucking person who follows the rules around here, and took a glass cup and shattered it against the wall. Broke my lamp. Not my proudest moment. I feel like if you threw yourself under the bus with other stuff, I'll gladly sell. Yeah. I've broken more than one glass.
True, you have.
These have been.
So you have to learn how to fight.
Ringers. Yeah. Do yourself the favor. Just figure it out.
Create your rules. We have an episode on it, like if you want to listen to that in detail. But also, you have to learn how to make up as well.
Dude.
Like, when a fight has to end, and like...
I'm real bad at making up.
We're on the same team, so mm-hmm. even when you're fighting, though, it seems like you're on the opposite sides of, like, you just want to kill the other person. But, like,
yeah.
You have to learn how to make up. You have to learn to, like, reconcile.
Yeah, let go of the right police. Everybody likes to... Yeah. When you're in a fight, everyone's focused on, so who's right?
Right. I'm right, and this why. Someone has to be justified, or, like...
Here's what I feel like, and maybe it's out there, I can't say that it's not, but I can't say that I've heard ever, or have heard it much, the idea that, like, you will have arguments where you are both right, and you are both wrong. Like, yeah. You can both have accurate, valid points and have false ones. Like, so, and I feel like if you look at it as winning one side or the other, like, you never come to a resolution, and then that issue never gets resolved. And then you get resentment.
Yeah. Who's a loser in a fight? Like, there should be both winners. That's what compromise
is. Like, and sometimes you might have to eat a little bit of shit.
Yeah, especially if you're the one being an asshole.
And here's the other thing is...
Or sometimes if you need to compromise.
Because I have been right about an argument, but also still had to eat my own shit about a different area.
Like what?
Listen, I don't have specifics. I don't have time to go into details right now.
Oh, we don't? I got all night, baby.
I am the first one to admit, and this is one of the very... literally one of the last... or slowest growing areas of myself that I've been working on. And that is like apologizing and making up.
Yeah. You know what?
And I swear it doesn't look like it, but on God, I'm working so hard on this area of myself.
Just repeat after me. I'm sorry.
I am
sorry.
Oh God, I'm going to throw up.
That's all you got to say.
I can't. I'm sorry. Is that
the tone I didn't feel it.
I'm sorry. Is that I feel like that's the same. You're saying what I'm saying.
It's not the word, Sarah. It's how you say it.
Okay, well then why can't I say do you want me to suck your dick in an apologetic tone and have that be the same thing? If I can't sarcastically say I'm sorry, why can't I?
Can I suck your dick in an I'm sorry in an apologetic way?
I mean, I'll have to.
We want to hear it right now. Let's go.
I mean, I'm trying to think of one time that I felt sorry. And if I could channel that energy.
The one time?
I'm not a sociopath. I've made sure of that. But
you took tests? Online tests? Online?
I can't tell you when exactly, but for sure I have Googled what makes a sociopath. I'm clear. I actually am. I want to live.
My mental health is clear. I am not suicidal. I just want to let everyone know that. If my suicide is fake.
He doesn't think that. He's actually lying right now. He's winking at me. You guys can't see it. It's okay. It's like a little thing that we do.
Say, I'm sorry.
I but... want to suck your dick.
Okay, I believe that. Okay.
Fuck you, because cool. I've tried that shit before, and you're like, you can't Let's apologize right to
Let's
me
go.
With sex.
Podcast is over. Let's go. Let's go upstairs. Let's go upstairs.
You have legitimately right told me that I can't apologize to you with sex, and I was True. All, literally, what is the point of having a vagina? I was
You can't have all the power.
I can either have bomb pussy or say sorry. I wish it weren't.
Sometimes I would rather you say sorry.
Sometimes you have chosen the sorry.
Yeah, and you sit there in silence.
I got to process my emotions. I know it sucks.
Your emotions, your fuck-ups that you have to apologize for?
I'm sorry. Emotions are emotions, yes. Owning your own shit is also part of processing your emotions.
But then also the end part of that is expressing it to your spouse and going, hey, I'm sorry.
I know.
An asshole.
100%. And I'm not the best at that.
That's the last mark you got to do.
I know.
It's the last checkbox. Just check it off.
I'm working on it. It's real, real hard.
So.
Quite honestly, it's harder than I could have expected. And I actually can't believe I'm still dealing with this shit. Because I've been working on it for
so long.
You're
terrible at saying sorry.
I am.
You're
really
so awful at it.
But am I at least better than I was?
Don't
are you kidding? You can't even say I'm at least better. I'm a lot better than I was. I'm not good. I'm a lot better than I was.
You're better. There's okay. Adjectives
I'll take
like
that.
Yeah, better.
You're all, a lot is a strong word.
A lot is a little too vague.
I'll take that because I know it's one of the more infuriating parts about me because
like is $1 million a lot of money or is $100 million a lot of money?
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'll take the million.
A thousand? Like,
wait, if a lot better is $1 million, I'm only
but $1,000 is still good money. I'd take it. I'll take $1,000.
Yeah, no, but if $1 million were on the table, I'd be like, hold the fuck up. Let's talk about this a little bit longer. I'm not just real quick walking away with
$1,000. I'm praying for the million, but we're at the 1,000, maybe 10K mark.
I got to be honest. This has been one area. This has been the only area that I have put like a lot of effort into that I have not been able to fix yet. And it's very frustrating because I don't understand what the problem is.
Can't even apologize to yourself.
I mean, I think the problem is I'm just not fucking sorry.
You're a sociopath. Okay, it's fine.
There have been times where I literally have owed you an apology and have had to have a come to Jesus moment with myself because I was all, I ain't fucking sorry. Like, not even a little. I don't remember what it was. This is sometime in like the last year. My ass was not fucking sorry. And I was like, you should be sorry for having a problem with it in my head. I didn't tell you that, obviously.
That makes me so fucking mad.
This is why I drink. No, this is why I don't, you know, talk about all the things that I'm thinking all the time, which is something that you should actually work on more because you like to just vomit.
But I feel a lot of things.
So do I. Obviously, I mean, listen.
I just feel
like
better things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like regrets when I offend you, and I apologize. Like a good
I mean,
human
I regret
being.
That you're being a bitch about it for sure.
So basically, I'm a better human being than you are.
But yes, making up is also an art, and if you're not good at making up, just start working on it now. I've been literally pouring years into this area, and it's barely gotten better.
Blowjobs make up for it.
No, they don't. That is a lie. That is a lie, straight from the pit of hell. Because I suck dick so much,
they
I have
help.
TMJ.
I'm going to tell you
no,
that.
No.
The reason why we're married.
I developed TMJ and still have to say sorry, which actually strains my jaw more than a blowjob. So if you.
We're still married, so.
If you could accept.
You put in extra effort that other areas. You make up for your.
No, it's never made up. Don't even lie. It's never made up. It's never. Our sex life, even though we have sex, yes, you compart.
Oh, you've apologized with a blowjob. Don't even lie.
I have attempted to.
You have.
Yeah, but then later you're like, you know, I'm not just a piece of meat. I'm like, meat, shut the fuck up.
You're a dude wrapped in a woman's body.
That's why I do the fuckboys on TikTok so well. We have always said that I was like a fuckboy in a straight body, like that I was a fuckboy gay guy in a woman's body.
Guess. Yeah, you're.
I'm telling you, the Lord made me get snatched up real young.
You're awful.
And just, he had me pop out babies because he was like, she'll destroy a generation of men.
So I was the sacrificial lamb. You'll just
straight up.
Me.
God was like, I guess I have one of my strongest warriors over here.
He can take it.
He's the only one strong enough to put up with this. Now let's throw in a little bit of freak. In there. We'll bless him. We'll bless him in the bedroom, but it's not going to count for anything in their relationship. My sex drive is literally God just being like, sorry, someone had to take her. It's not going to make anything better. I mean, it'll help a little, but in the grand scheme of things, she's really that awful. Oh, fuck. God. I feel like you're getting uncomfortable even laughing at how real this joke is. Sterling's like picking his drink up, setting it down, like looking around the room. He's like,
I don't know how to react because I feel like everyone should be turning it off right now.
Okay, moving on.
Oh my God. Oh. People want to hang out with us. Wow.
I don't know why we're terrible.
Oh, God.
All right, next one, date nights.
Date nights, quality time. Is something that is marriage 101.
Basic foundational.
Basic shit. Basic bitch shit. Like, you have to have date nights. Mm-hmm. Homie time is what we call it. You can have actual date nights. That's, you know, it's fucking 2021 now with COVID and everything, so you can't maybe not go out. But make special time just for you and your spouse.
But yeah, a date night going out can also be, like, go get a fucking McDonald's and go watch airplanes take off and just hang out for an hour.
Absolutely. Go to the park and walk.
Yes.
Like, or hey, when the kids go to bed, order Postmates.
Dude.
And
things that feel like illegal that aren't illegal are ordering. Yeah. The top of the list is ordering Postmates late because we're like, like everyone kind of fended for themselves for dinner. Or like I made something that like the kids ate, but maybe we weren't hungry. And so like 10:30 rolls around and we get Postmates delivered and it is like a reconnaissance mission to get the food from the front door to our bedroom.
Thank God for Ring doorbell. Not a sponsor.
Dude, straight up.
Not a sponsor, but Ring, if you
Ring
want a
doorbell
sponsor.
Is saving
We love you. Parents. Because they don't even have to ring it. They just show up and it's like pops up and like, oh, our delivery's here. Sneak downstairs, incognito.
We're all.
Open the door, pick up the food, carry it upstairs. And we have, dude, that's some of the best date nights ever.
It's nice because like we really like to order sushi, but to order sushi for all five of us is like $150.
It's stupid. You can't. It's not even reasonable.
Yeah, no. But and if we're dropping that much money, I'm not doing it on delivery for a dinner.
But there's this close sushi place that we order from that like.
Yeah. So if we just order for the two of us, that can be like $45.
Yeah, and it's so
good. And it's money. Oh, and we'll sit there naked and like watch a show, and it is literally the best. That is 100% a date night.
Date night in your house. So 2021 date night, Postmates after your kids go to bed.
You'll like feel so naughty.
Take a nap. Prepare for it. Other things are like whenever the COVID ends or whatever, like actually spend time going on date nights. Like set a time. Like everyone, it doesn't have to be once a week. It doesn't have to be an ideal. Like everyone, there's always like these like people who put out like, oh, you have to go out like once a week or like once a month. Like
if you could swing once a week, awesome.
Dude, great. But guess what? Sometimes we're fucking busy.
Probably not.
We're traveling and other things. You can't do it.
Yeah, if you have opposite work schedules or you have, you know, babysitters to line
up. If you get once a month or once every year, great. Your success is your success. Success. Yes. Celebrate your progress.
Yeah, but that's why like it's... Everybody has the time to make time with their spouse.
100%.
Everybody has that capability. What that time looks like just might be different, but it can be something as simple as, hey, do you want to rent so-and-so movie Friday night? We'll, order pizza for the kids, or I'll make us a special dinner and we'll light candles. We'll put our phones down and we'll just like watch a movie together.
If you work opposite shifts, wake up early, 2.5 hours before he gets home and get up and prepare a breakfast.
Yeah.
Like do something together or.
Yeah, just one. Like not every day.
Do something intentional.
Yes.
That will mean something to your spouse. Like,
yeah.
I don't think that's very hard for spouses to do. And I think it's very basic.
No, figure out what works
it's
for you guys.
So
it's
so basic.
That is. That is a very basic thing. And, but it just went.
But also people who've been married 20 years. Uh-huh. Go back to the basics sometimes.
Yeah.
If you're struggling, if you're like been married 10 years and like you're like, oh, I don't know how to keep things fresh.
Yeah.
Go back to the
basics. How do I get the spark back?
Go back to the basics.
Yep.
Like, do what you did before. Like,
yeah.
You know what he likes. You know what she likes.
Like the ballet teacher in Center Stage when she tells her, when you get lost, you go back here. And she's like pointing to the ballet bar. It's like that, but for your marriage. And I love that only a few people are going to understand that center stage reference.
I saw that movie and it's actually pretty good.
Fuck you. That movie's amazing.
That movie's great.
It's such a good movie.
Ballet, so.
You're my little ballerino.
Shut up. I hate when you call me that.
I know you do. And I mean it.
But I'm
in the tenderest, purest way.
I'm the most
way.
Agile person in this house. And I'm the fattest.
Yeah, you're the most athletic person. And it's because you did ballet. Because you're a ballerino.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so yeah. Date nights, quality time. Like, just, like, figure it out.
I mean, I can't stress it enough.
Yeah.
Spin time with your spouse.
Oh, and if you have
like
a little kid,
alone time.
Well, and this is too, is like,
get off your phone, get off your, like, just.
Yeah, but this is also why making sure we had time together is one of the main reasons we were super, super hard about bedtime when our kids were little.
Yes.
Like when you're talking about you're married and you have three kids ages 5 and under. You have got to set up some fucking boundaries for your marriage because those kids will overthrow you. It'll be a coup.
And guess what?
Overnight.
You want to know a hack? Your kids love schedules.
You are their clock.
They love schedules.
They'll fight them, but it's just because they're going to test their boundaries. They're just going to stress test their life because they have no other guideline other than you.
Yep.
You're their
Northern Star.
Yes.
Got to point them the way.
And it can be, it's hard, especially a new baby or trying to implement a new schedule or whatever, potty training, all this other shit. Bedtime is tough, but figure out what your bedtime routine is, what time it happens, and help each other to never, ever, ever miss it.
Yeah, and make bedtime like an hour or two before you and your husband go to bed.
Oh, shit. Our bedtime was 8 o'clock sharp.
That way you can spend time together with your spouse.
Yeah. So it didn't matter how rough of a day we had had. It didn't matter what, like we knew that at 8:05, it was mom and dad time.
Right. If we were really tired, we might be in bed by 8:30, going to sleep. Or yeah. we could stay up till 11:30 watching a movie,
yep.
making out and having amazing sex the
yep.
entire night because we knew our kids were in bed.
Yes.
You got to set those boundaries.
And that was huge for us. Next one. Prioritize sex. That was another thing.
Have sex a lot.
Well, but also getting kids at a bedtime, like co-sleeping, cool. But I think that also serves a purpose. And I also am kind of on the side with like, if co-sleeping is ruining your sex life, then it's not working for you.
100%.
Outside of special needs or something like it.
Outside, like, okay, if you have like some crazy.
Yeah, I'm saying outside of something that would be like, oh, yeah, well, except for that. But I mean, like, if it's just. Co-sleeping needs to come to an end. Like, co-sleeping cannot end your sex life. If your baby's going to be sleeping in the bed, you better be fucking in other areas of the house.
Absolutely. Put the baby to bed.
Put the baby in the bed. Fuck on the floor.
Yeah, fine. I mean, you got to compromise. Like.
Right. Make it happen.
Also, put the baby in a crib or the bassinet next to the bed.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, whatever you got to do. Like prioritize sex.
Prioritizing sex, I think, means eliminating the excuses as to why you don't have it. If you're too tired at the end of the day, ask your husband for a little bit more help. Couples in general, anybody.
Couples in general. So I don't want this to come off as just towards women.
No. This is the men too.
Men too.
You're too stressed out at work. Like if your job is so stressful that it is now affecting your sex life, either get help for your stress or figure something else out that will change.
And like, also,
that's what prioritizing sex means.
Also, if your wife is so stressed taking care of the kid all day and you're not helping, then you, as a husband, you should be helping relieving some of that load.
Yes. If your wife is too tired for sex because you don't fucking help her, then guess what? Like, you're not going to get laid.
We had three kids. All three of our kids were at what? 4 and under? 3 and under?
Yeah. We had 3 and under when we had our third.
3 and under. So we know what it's like. We know what it's like. It's crazy. We know that every night it's not going to happen. We know that like kids are going to need nursing.
And there's going to be seasons. Like pregnancy is going to be a slow sex season, maybe.
Right. We're not talking about all those things. I don't want to hear a million fucking excuses about all those
things. Yeah,
well,
we just had a baby. We just had surgery. We just had this.
I'm talking about the normal.
Overall. You're normal. That's a good point. You're normal.
You're normal. Get your kid out of the bed so you can have sex. Uh-huh. Bring the kid back in an hour later, whatever.
Yeah, have sex during the day. Have sex in the morning.
If you work opposite schedules, figure it out.
Dude, like, schedule sex.
There are, you can schedule sex, and there's literally articles written by people smarter than us.
Way smarter.
That they scheduled sex, and they had amazing success.
Because that's too, another people like, well, I'm just not into it, which I get.
And you know what? But I thought it was so hottest. The hottest thing about scheduling sex was like,
when we were talking about it.
Yeah. It was like, oh, you know, it's going to happen.
You know, exactly.
Oh, so then like you're like, it's
you
almost
gotta,
like,
you gotta be there at 6. That means at 5 o'clock, you better get in the shower.
Like, it's almost like foreplay the whole day.
Yes.
Oh, that's, I think that's kind of hot.
Oh my gosh. And especially for like, if you, cause there's so many couples that work opposite schedules. Like if you know that, you know, Thursday morning or whatever it is realistically your only time that you kind of cross paths, make it happen then.
Oh,
and then know like, fuck, on Tuesday you can go buy lingerie, on Wednesday you could shave.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, you could send little winky faces and shit to each other. Like once we, cause we talked about scheduling sex and what that would be, I think based off of someone who wrote us or something.
Uh-huh.
And we had the whole conversation of what, would, because people are like, well, scheduling sex takes the spontaneity out of it and blah, 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 blah,
right,
stuff. I'm like, bitch, you plan a vacation and you're excited as fuck for it.
Change your perspective.
Yes.
Okay. We have a friend who their parents had sex. It was like every Wednesday night. And it was, you know, and their friends would sleep over and they would be embarrassed because if they slept over on that night, because their parents,
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh my gosh. Hold on.
Hold on. Let me pause this. Cause I need to know who this is. Oh my God.
You don't remember the story?
I do now, but I had forgot about it.
This is the sweetest old couple.
I was going to say, I thought the couple was our age.
No.
I wasn't expecting it to be like, not our mom and dad, but people who we would look at as like mom and dad.
We should interview them on our podcast because they
fucking get it. They got their shit together. They've been married like 160 years.
They have. So we had to pause because I had to tell Sarah about this.
Oh my God.
It was like every Wednesday night I think it was, they had sex, and our friend who's our
we
age,
we heard this from their adult child, by the way, yeah. And they were still like, it was the fucking worst, but it was hilarious.
It was hilarious because like their friends would come over and be like, oh, you can't come over on Wednesday nights because like,
I mean,
they were getting down.
If we were that regular, I'd be, I will not shit on that couple because they've got to figure it all out. But thinking about our kids having to look at their friends and be like, it's sex night, you can't come over, it makes me want to fucking kill myself.
Oh my God. So
like, I would want to die.
Hearing that story from our friend was so funny. Hilarious.
I completely forgot about that.
And then like she visited them
as an adult,
and then on that Wednesday night,
they've been fucking on Wednesday for 20 years. I've never had more respect for someone in my life.
Mad respect for this couple.
I'm not. My periods aren't even that regular.
I love these people too to death.
Absolutely. Oh <my gosh. laughs> So yeah, prioritize sex. You know, eliminate your excuses for not having it. If you are having, you know, health issues that run into it, like go see a doctor. If it's emotional, psychological stuff, if you have trauma you need to deal with and that's dealing,
go,
you
get
know,
help.
Go get help. Yeah.
There's no weakness in getting help. It only will help you in your, like, getting help is actually an act of love for the people around you.
Oh yeah, we do say that. Working on yourself, like fixing your shit, is a way that you love your spouse. You're a fucked up person. It's not your fault.
You love your spouse, you love your kids, you love everybody else. When you become a better person, like, it's an act of love towards everybody around you.
Yeah. Oh, you know what I didn't write down for this episode, but it totally applies, is that we say this, and I remember we posted it a long time ago. Someone was like, that's terrible and toxic. And I was like, okay, single person.
It's toxic.
It's remember you're a difficult person to live with, so make it as easy on your spouse as possible.
Oh, that's my saying. Yeah.
No, that's not. That's from Doug and Vicky. That's Pastor Doug.
Oh, okay.
We've just said it that long.
Oh, like, maybe this was like, we got some solid advice, but yeah, you are
a difficult person to live with.
Make it as easy
as easy on them as possible.
Yep.
And some people are like, oh, you shouldn't have to change. Fuck you. You know what? I have never disagreed with something more. Like, you shouldn't have to change for the people you love. Fuck you. Are you so fucking perfect? You're telling me there isn't one thing about your shithole personality that doesn't need fixing?
Oh, get the fuck out of
get
here.
Get out of here.
You wake up at 6 o'clock and you're not a morning person, but you got a fucking job because you have to get up and get a fucking job, right?
Right.
You got to go to work.
Yes. Like, don't give me that bullshit. Changing yourself would be like...
I just have selfish tendencies and I like to be bought really expensive.
No,
stuff.
I'm trying to think of something that I wouldn't change for you. Like, what's something that's not a fault? Like me, like if you didn't want me to do comedy, I'd be like, I cannot change that part of me for you.
But if you were like, I can only buy this shampoo that was $200 a bottle.
No, if it was like, oh, sorry, I just throw things when I yell and you just have to deal with it because that's who I am as a person.
Oh,
you're
so deeper. Oh, yeah. Oh,
I just mean your shit. Like, it's a shitty thing to do. Like, so you can't own your own shit. Like, you yell when you
threw things at me all the time. Yeah, fuck that.
That's what I'm saying. That is a...
if I screamed all the time.
Yes. If you yelled at me all the time and you're like, this is just who I am. Dude, there's the amount of people that die on the hill of yelling that this is just who I am.
No. I'm a yeller. My mom was a yeller. Yep. That's how we fought. That's how I was raised.
Don't give me the bullshit that that's how you're raised because I was raised by a yeller.
I know, but you're not. I'm saying I'm naturally a yeller. I'm
exactly. I was raised by a yeller and am not a yeller. You were raised by a yeller and are a yeller. Like, so that's not an excuse.
But I actively choose against it.
No, I know.
Own your shit.
Yeah, that's actually. Oh, is that the next one? No, but we can. Yeah, we're big on owning your shit. Like, you got to fucking work on yourself. Like we've just said the last couple minutes. Like. Oh, this is what we were going to say is you brought shit into this marriage, whether you know it or not, and it's your responsibility to handle it.
Right. Everyone has their own character flaws, their own drama,
their own expectations, their own trauma, their own preconceived notions.
Some of these things might not be your fault. They might not be like...
a lot of them probably aren't your fault.
Your trauma, the way you were raised, those things aren't your fault.
The examples you had of marriage
in your life. Those aren't your fault. But guess what?
They're still your responsibility.
Presumptions, those expectations are your responsibility.
Yes. It's not my fault that I have ADHD.
Right.
I did not choose to have it. I was literally born this way. I have been this way since I was a baby. Like, it has always been there. It's not like something that developed later or anything. It's not my fault that I have it, but it's my responsibility to actively manage my symptoms, especially when they put strain on our marriage. Like, it is not Sterling's responsibility to just deal with the negative outcomes of my ADHD.
Right. And if there comes something that becomes an issue because of that,
right.
It's on you.
Right. It's not your fault you're a sex addict.
No. Absolutely. Like, my childhood trauma and things like that right. happened to me is not my fault.
That's not your fault.
But my choices and actions as an adult human being are my responsibility.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that a lot of people tied your mental health. It's not my... Like, I fought depression. I fought anxiety.
People think that dealing with it means it's their fault.
Like, it's not my fault, but it's my responsibility.
Yeah. That was a big fucking... Hearing that, I had to sit on that for a while because that changed my perspective on a lot of areas to hear that. I don't remember when that came up or how exactly it came up or if it was a conversation that developed, but it was really, really hard for me to, especially when I figured out that I had ADD and was dealing with like those beginning, you know, months of understanding it. Uh-huh. It was really difficult for me to separate responsibility and fault. And being able to do that was probably the first thing that helped me manage my symptoms was understanding really? That it wasn't my fault. It wasn't blame. And I couldn't separate those two emotions from taking responsibility for something, which is why, and I mean, we go into this in the mental health episode. I think it's like episode 8 or whatever we talk about this. But like as a kid, when I would get punished for something that was actually a symptom, I had a really, and I think this is actually why I have a hard time apologizing, is that I would be forced to say sorry, but I'm like, but it's not my fault.
Right. So like you raised, like all those circumstances, every mm-hmm. every time that happened, mm-hmm. created a behavior and a natural reaction.
Yeah, it's literally ingrained in my brain.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I have to dig it out.
100%. And I think that a lot of spouses and couples should come to terms with that and talk about things that are like, it's not my responsibility, but it is.
It's
not my fault, but yeah. it's my responsibility. Like, whether it's, you know, you had trauma or you were raised a certain way. Let's say, you know, you were a victim or you were raised, you know, super religious and then you backtrack or refused or whatever it was. Like,
right.
Like you have to come to terms with that, but mm-hmm. you should come to terms with it together with your spouse. So you're both on the same page.
I feel like there's very few instances where the answer would be that the spouse just needs to deal with it. Very, very few.
Right. So
very
like,
few instances.
Like we have a lot of people who listen to us who are people who are military.
We do have a lot of military. Like, thank you for your service. I feel like we've never said that. We talk about our military people all the time because they write us and how many people try to manage their marriage like from across the world because someone is deployed.
I love you guys.
And FYI, we talk about you guys a lot and I'm sorry for never saying any. For not having said this already, because
and we talk about you guys in private too, because that's what I mean. So respective of
between the two of us, we talk like about who do how like you guys do this
relationships. Oh,
because we could not do it.
I respect.
If we had a situation where one of us had to move across the world for a year, job or not, whatever it was, maybe even what if it were 2 years, I would not be.
You'd leave me? Oh wow, you're shallow as fuck.
Cool. No,
you guys are way cooler than Sarah.
We probably could do it, but I am not envious of it. I'm not so proud that I'd be like, yeah, we'd make it work. I don't know that.
No, I just, y'all are strong as fuck. And
we appreciate you.
For sure.
But what was your point? Sorry, I totally cut you off.
Yeah, now I forgot what my point was.
Military people, working on yourself, working on your own shit. People that bring in stuff to the relationship. No. Okay, yeah. Well, anyways, it's your responsibility to fix the fucked up parts of you. It's not your spouse's responsibility to just deal with it. And here's the other thing is that if you're listening to this and you're like, well, my spouse has some pretty fucked up parts about him and he doesn't work on them. How long do I have to deal with this? I mean, we get that question a lot. Like, well, yeah, when do you know when to like walk away? And we've never, because we don't know. I disagree because we were talking about this recently. Well, yeah, I'm talking about non-abusive, non-toxic or non-like safety situations. I mean, just how long would you be married to a spouse that wasn't like giving you anything in return? Like how long would we put up with that? And the only reason Sterling and I are still married is because when one of us wanted to walk away, the other person showed tangible change.
And was in fighting areas. For our marriage.
Yes. And it was visible. Like you couldn't, neither of us could ignore the change that we saw. It wasn't just, I promise it won't happen again. Because we were past that. Like, I mean, we were trying to move out. Like we were trying to get away from each other.
Right.
We were that close to divorce. But like, if I didn't see Sterling like take me trying to leave seriously and really, really work on himself, I would have divorced him. We wouldn't be married because it would not have taken me much longer.
Man, I should have just kept fucking up.
You're like, what a shoulda, coulda, man. If I had just waited a little bit longer, you would be the person you are today because you would have worked on yourself. But your window of opportunity with me would be gone.
Who would I be with?
But yeah, so like if you, I mean, I don't know. You got to make that decision for yourself. Like if you're really not seeing anything from your spouse and we've talked to people who are like, I've downloaded apps. I've read books. I offered to go to therapy together. I asked if they would listen to certain podcasts with me. I asked if they'd have conversations with me. I told them that I'd be willing to do this if they do this. I blah, 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 blah. Granted, this is just their side of the story, but, and they they did all of this for 2 years and have seen no progress with their spouse. It is your fucking time. Like, right. I'm sure you don't want to divorce the mother of your children or the father of your children, but
true. And we've also gotten the whole message on the other side of my wife wants a divorce, and she threw this at me like, "Oh, we've been struggling for 2 years, and I didn't even realize I thought we were okay."
Oh God,
we've seen so both sides. Yeah. So it's.
Well, yeah. Well, they're probably those are probably two sides of the same coin.
That's where we're like, go talk to someone.
Yeah.
Go get some help. Like,
yeah.
Just.
But again, like, don't. I mean.
It's not. It's like being young and married. I feel like this being the Marriage 101, like,
yeah,
kind of podcast. Like, it's so easy to get discouraged, or so easy to like see failures, or like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking, you got to put some time in it, because real change takes time.
Real change does take time. And your spouse, if they're willing to change, like, give them time to change.
Yeah.
And if they're not, then that's up to you.
Like, again, yeah, that's what I mean. I'm like, it is your life.
It's your life. We're not.
You got to make those decisions. But because, I mean, we say fight for your marriage, but it takes two people fighting. If you're the only person fighting, it's not. It's just not going to happen. It'll never happen. You'll never be happy if you're the only person fighting for your relationship.
Yeah, I agree.
That was divorce 101. So like we know anything said, about
like,
it.
When to leave. Like, we're like, fucking don't keep fighting. Like,
I don't know. I used to be like that, but the more.
Well, it depends on who you're married to.
That depends on the situation. Dude, straight up, I've had women who recently wrote me, and she, you know, I talked to her a little bit, and literally I was like, or no, it was the husband. I'll remind you of this, but it was the husband, and he had told me all these things. I'm like, dude, at the end of the day, I'm like, you got to fucking make the decision of what you're willing to go through again.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're talking years. You're talking, and that's what I mean. I guess I mean the people who are like years and they've seen no change or progress.
I mean, that's up to them. Like,
I'm like, are you wasting your own fucking time? Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to spend your whole life like this?
The sun is setting.
Because of some stupid fucking kids? I'm just kidding. That's very insensitive. I didn't mean that by any means. I can't imagine.
Kids complicate a lot of shit.
I know.
But in this Marriage 101, try to keep all your fights away from your kids as well.
Yeah. Oh, somewhere in here was don't undermine each other in front of the kids. But that was the parenting one. That's what
that was don't undermine in front of anybody. Just keep your fights fucking private.
Yeah.
How fucking simple is that?
Are you fucking public too?
You're right.
Perverts.
If you don't fuck in public, don't fight in public.
And if you fuck in public, stop it.
Tweet that. If you don't fucking in public, don't fight in public.
And that's a pretty fair. That's a. I feel like that's an easy comparison. Okay, let's. Oh.
We're going to wrap this up?
Yeah, I was going to wrap this up on the last one.
Oh, what's the last one?
Well, what were you going to say?
Going to bed.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say. Go ahead.
Oh, going to bed angry is actually totally fine. And sometimes it's.
Recommended.
Highly recommended.
I don't know who. We used to think this.
There was a Bible verse or something about don't let your
anger. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Yeah. That's what it is. We used to think this, don't go to bed angry, until we had our 12th fight that lasted until 3:30 a.m. And I'm telling you, no fight gets resolved. No fight that starts before midnight gets resolved after midnight.
No.
Without sleep. Just doesn't happen. Our worst fights have been because we did not just call it quits and go to bed.
Yeah.
And not go or go to our corners. Like, we needed to cool off. Reconvene.
Cooler heads prevail.
And
tomorrow morning,
strategize.
We can have a different thought, different perspective. You can.
Oh, but we also say this is that. Well, this is totally up to you guys. This is one thing we do. I'm talking. we don't go to bed. We will go to bed angry, but we will always sleep next to each other.
Yes, we're not like. Sleeping.
Sometimes, I mean, there's been maybe 2-3 times in history that, and those have been after some banger fights that we literally couldn't be in the same
room. Sarah sleeps on the couch.
Oh, I would sleep on the fucking tile floor to get away from you sometimes.
I'm not moving.
But here,
I'm sleeping in my fucking bed.
For us, I know, I fucking hate that part about you, by the way. Again, don't talk shit behind their back. Just say it right to their face.
The bed is way more comfortable.
You're going to talk shit, you better be able to see the white of my eyes, bitch. But for us, like, if we if we have a fight that hasn't been resolved, that we have to go to bed angry and we're sleeping next to each other, this is what has happened for us historically is one, because we don't just pretend nothing happened. I fucking can't do it. I can't hide my feelings or emotions to save my life. If I'm mad, everybody fucking knows. Everybody.
She doesn't talk.
But it is visible. You know when I'm mad. I can't pretend like I'm not mad. Like, I can't brush stuff under the rug anymore.
Like when evil Superman has, like, red eyes, like, he's going to kill everybody. That's you walking around the house.
So for us, like, because we always sleep next to each other, there's always that calm moment first thing in the morning where we have both slept and are now laying in bed, because it's almost like roulette. It's almost like chicken. Like, I dare your ass to get up and get dressed and leave this room before you say something about last night. And that has actually helped resolve a lot of fights.
Yeah, it has.
Like that has been, it's been a, hey, are you still mad at me? Do you want to talk? Blah, blah, blah. Because if I get up and get dressed and leave the room without saying anything, it's a different level of fighting.
Right. And on the opposite side, there's sometimes I've gotten up, gotten dressed, went to work, and I got the, I'm sorry text. A couple hours later.
Yeah, but I wouldn't fucking do that. Mm-mm.
It happens. It takes you a while to say sorry.
And yeah, but you always. So when we leave the house, we always kiss each other goodbye. That should have been on the list. Oh, and saying I love you. We didn't say that. Make it a habit to say I love you every day.
Yeah, you should definitely say I love you every day. Someone asked even that. When you're fighting.
Someone
I still love you, okay. Bitch ass. When we're fighting.
Oh, I love you when we're fighting. But I'll still say I'm
it.
Telling,
I'll say
I won't.
It. I know you won't. You're because
I fucking will not.
I'm a better person than you. I know.
You're not a better person than me. I see. No. You think you're a better person because you can say sorry faster and you can and you'll say I love you when you're mad. But I don't trust that shit because it comes a little too quick. Like you apologize too fast. I'm all. See, I feel like you just want this to be over.
Oh, you just want to like remind me of everything. That I did?
No, it's not about reminding. Oh my God, don't even do the remind thing. Oh, you want to drag my face through the mud? It's talking about my feelings, asshole. It's not the same thing. Hold on. We're derailing.
Talking about your feelings is describing how I fucked up. Is describing
but that
your
is
feelings.
Not, but that is not dragging you through the mud.
It's also not talking about your feelings either. It's saying,
no,
you did this,
no,
and this.
No, it's telling you, no, it's me explaining how I feel. Don't even.
You go. Oh you God. Did this.
That is not then, what I do. I do not just rattle off shit that you've done.
No, then the last sentence will be like,
you don't really think this.
And it made me feel like this.
You don't really think this. Oh. There's, you're kidding. I will you're throw
like,
a
did
cup.
You remember you did this too? Yep.
Mm-hmm. No, it, you know what, bitch? You worked a long time to get into these feelings. And I told you, here's the thing.
Don't get in the feelings.
Here's the thing. I used to be closed off really emotionally.
Marriage 101. Don't get married.
Don't. Marriage 101. Leave. Leave. Leave him and the kids. First one to abandon the kids wins.
It's not funny. My dad left me.
Actually, two dads left you.
Touche.
It's still funny. It's still funny.
You're still here. My kids haven't
left
me.
Hey, I haven't left you. You know what? Actually, and that's why I want you to call me daddy.
Okay, with your pro outfits.
Okay, we got to wrap this up. Anything else? Anything else you're going to say? Anyways, so this is like our sage old advice. Take it for what you will, but this, every single one of these things has saved our marriage at some point. So,
yeah, at some point.
If you had a shitty marriage,
a really
if,
bad argument,
and if you could, it saved us from a lot of grief, that's for sure.
Dude,
these things I think would eliminate so many unnecessary fights. So many unnecessary. Number one, if your spouse is your number one, and if anytime something comes between you and your number one being good, that you handle that thing, honestly, you'll probably be fine.
That was out the gate. That's what we talked about. So. Really, like, take a lot of this to heart because we've been in serious fights about some of these things and come to these resolutions to go, hey, we need to prioritize this. Mm-hmm. Whether it comes to in-laws, when it comes to prioritizing work-life balance, all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
These are basic shit.
Marriage 101.
It will if you're happy in your spouse life, the rest of your life makes it way better.
Literally everything else gets easier.
Like if you're happy, husband and wife happy, your parenting, work, job, everything else mm-hmm. gets easier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that should be everyone's like focus is
yeah.
to focus on their marriage and their.
And if your spouse doesn't do that to you after a while, fucking leave. Find somebody who does.
Find someone. No.
So yes, I think that.
Have him listen to our podcast and we'll try to correct
him. I'm saying you do all this shit and you're fucking trying hard and then like he or she is still not giving or budging or whatever and is a stubborn son of a bitch. Fucking cut your losses. Get the fuck out of there. Download Tinder today.
You're okay, bad no. advice. Okay.
That is not bad advice. I talk to women all the time who are like, well, it's been like this for the last 6 years. I'm all, honey, what are you doing?
Go to like...
He won't go to therapy. I'm talking about the people who...
Fuck him. Yeah.
That's what I mean.
But get a divorce first. Don't just start jumping.
No, that's what I mean. Like, cut, like fucking like, out of there.
But, yeah, explore all options.
Well, I feel like sometimes people need...
Some people do need to push to go, hey, you need to stand up for yourself and fucking get out.
True. Well, no, I'm saying, like, I think some spouses need to hear... Like, if you are literally to the point where you're at your wit's end with your relationship, you owe it to yourself and your spouse to... have that unfortunate conversation of, hey, Sterling, I need you to know that if these areas don't change, like, I will leave. Like, this is kind of your, it's not an ultimatum thing because I don't really believe in ultimatums. It's more of a, like, I need you to know how very serious this conversation is.
Right. If you continue this behavior for
like, if you're so not, long. Yeah. Like, if yeah. you're literally not willing to give me these couple things or show XYZ, whatever the fuck your issue is.
Right. Like if you continue to do bro videos with the muscle shirt on, I'm going to leave you.
Oh, that's a joke. So I can't change who I am.
Sarah?
I can't change who I am. One of those things you need to be okay with.
I'm going to burn it.
I'll buy another one.
I'll burn it again. Okay. I can't just walk in our bedroom and you just like sitting there flexing.
Yeah, you can. You've done it before and you still texted me later.
No.
It has had no effect on our sex life. Listen, I'm saying the muscle suit has had no effect on our sex life.
You tried to bust it out during sex, and I was like, no.
I don't understand why you won't fuck me in it.
There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you.
No, there's something wrong with you for letting me use a used ball wipe on my face. This is all just revenge. I fucking told you I was going to get you back. It was going to be slow and painful. You... The slow knife cuts the deepest. Dark Knight Rises.
That was your accident.
Whatever. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Not the Worst Marriage Podcast.
God, you can't even fucking say it right. If you like what you hear, give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. Remember, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Not the Worst Marriage, pretty much everywhere. You can also support the show by going to patreon.com/nottheworstmarriage. Sterling is fucking useless when it comes to these intros and outros, I tell you.